in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. And honestly, after coming through the preaching, especially some of the examples of missions on Thursday, it's something actually I want to study out a little bit more, because it was a point of view that I had never thought about in regards to Acts 1:8. And I know most of you were there, but just taking Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria as one ministering point, and to the uttermost as a second ministry point, and how that we literally can be doing Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria all at the same time. And so that was a very very simplistic, and I'm going to see if I can't get, I've already actually communicated, see if I can get the chart to illustrate the various passages of Acts in that regards. But I'm just going to go through my notes. These are notes that I already had prepared, I had told you about last week, and just go through this time of deputation, because regardless of the chart, there is still this time of deputation that must be taken. And so with that deputation, there is training ground. Although there needs to already have been training, because Paul told Timothy that he had to be careful that he wasn't neophyto. I got to look this up. Sorry. What is it? What? A novice. Thank you. And so, as was illustrated in the message the other morning with Pastor Gilmore, God called the best. God called Barnabas and Saul to be those missionaries. He didn't send the person that can't. As I was growing up in construction, other contractors would make the statement, those that can't inspect, or those that can't teach. And there literally is a mentality, like I was kind of alluding to a little bit last week, or maybe a lot, I don't know, I can't remember right this second, that there is this idea amongst some pastors that missionaries just can't, and so they're going to a different country. They can't be pastors here. Although it's the missionary that has to learn a culture, learn the food, learn a language, understand a whole different concept of thinking. I mean, it's not the red house, it's the house red. And there's a lot of things that take place that a missionary has to comprehend, and there's a level of intelligence that only God can give to that individual. But nonetheless, there is this training ground on deputation, though there should have already been training before. That's the point I'm trying to get to here. But this deputation training ground is dealing with people from another culture. Now, we've been filling in the pulpit once every 6 or 7 weeks for Needmore. And though that's only 1 hour away, literally just like 55, 60 minutes away, there is a different culture over there. Those people in that church, they're all farmers. But they also all have a full-time job, a 40-hour-a-week job, plus they're farming. So some are doing hay, some are doing goats and chickens, and I forget right now what they're all doing on the side as far as farming goes. But there's a different culture there, besides the fact the church isn't even remotely close to a town. It's like 8 to 10 miles from the nearest town. So when people go to that church, they're literally coming from all different directions, and they're all driving a minimum of 20 minutes, except for just a few that live nearby. That's a different mindset of having a church that's either in or right next to a city. So there's some learning curves there. Let's talk about then, you go to a different state. Well, now you have some different laws, even driving laws. So we're in Wisconsin. I think this was Wednesday morning. Maybe it was Thursday morning. Instead of coming right up to the light and then turning right, they have kind of this side little curvy ramp thing. And the light was green, so I figured I had right of way. Except for on that curve thing that sends you right, there's actually a yield sign. So technically, the person that goes up to the light that has a green light that is turning left has the right of way because the people turning right have a yield sign. So there's all kinds of learning curves, literally, learning curves that you have to deal with in those different cultures. For us, almost all of the roads in Michigan, except for 50 that runs diagonally across there to Charlotte, most of the roads are pretty straight east, west, north, south. And it's pretty understandable because it's 10 mile, 14 mile, and there's a progression. But you get to some of these other places and it's double K road. And they're not necessarily in order alphabetically. And it doesn't even make sense because sometimes you have this double letter for a north-south road or an east-west road. So there seems like no rhyme or reason to it. And that can be a frustrating point. Where I'm going with this is these little cultural nuances or differences can be a point of frustration, especially if you're a perfectionist. And I think all of us have those areas of wanting to be a perfectionist. And so the devil will use this in our flesh to create a stumbling stone. And we just have to be aware that it isn't just the yield signs and the road names, but it's also the mentality amongst the people. There is a different mindset. Now, one of the place that we stayed with, the lady said, "Well, I hope you're used to being in the country because we're way out in the country." And yet they were less than a half a mile from Meijer. So people's mindset, you know, and that is something that we will have to learn to be able to connect with these people by listening to them. You know, I think it was it Brother Stevens years ago, a missionary to Japan that talked about being, or Taiwan, I think he was from Taiwan, that one of the greatest things he learned was the ability to listen to the details. And by listening to them, we're going to be able to win them to the gospel. So deputation is definitely a training ground. It's dealing with people of another culture. And deputation is also a massive training ground, which really, Reese should be up here for this part, but it's the organization of all of those trajectories. Now, in my book, he took the extreme circle first, kind of. I don't know any other missionary that literally did this continent hop from Alaska to Hawaii to Puerto Rico and all of those extremities. And I do realize that there are a lot of churches in those areas that do not have the opportunity like people within the 48 states have, to have missionaries come and so forth. So it's also, there's that dependency on God to know, where is it that you want me to go? Because there is, even though there is a field white already to harvest of the lost, there are also the believers who are looking to God to say, how can we help advance the cause for Christ? And some of those people have more hunger than other people do. Like I was sharing last week, how that there's a group. For example, if you're going to be a missionary to Mexico, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, they're already saturated with people that have come to those churches looking for support. But the mindset is, okay, well, they're close to the border. They should be able to see the need. The thing is that they saw the need a long time ago, and now each church supports three missionaries to Mexico or to some Latin American country. And so from being from Michigan to call somebody in Texas, he's like, I'm sorry, brother. It's not that we don't love missions. It's just we already have three, and we're looking for other areas to invest. You know, it's the idea of having all of your eggs in one basket. Pastors literally have that mindset. They don't want all their missionaries to be in one location, which makes sense because it does encourage the people as they consider, you know, Mongolia, when we had the gays, Roland Gay over there. You know, that's an exciting thing. And now to know that Brother Bill Patterson is working with a team in Mongolia to produce a sound translation. And if my memory serves me right, Brother Roland Gay was getting in on that very groundwork of that project. So that's exciting. And they're only that many years closer now to having that project complete. So the organization of being able to get a hold of these pastors, get past the secretary, get past the missions pastor sometimes, to be able to schedule these meetings, to be organized, to have the time to study, have the time to travel, because there's going to be vehicle maintenance, there's going to be family maintenance, depending on the age of the children and so forth. There is definitely an opportunity to lose time within the family, even though you're surrounded by them 24/7, literally, as they're strapped to their seatbelts and you're strapped to your seatbelt and you're traveling the many miles. And also to be aware of the constant tendency or temptation to push them to the side as this pastor becomes priority. The church becomes priority because the reason why I'm here is to convince them of our burden. And so when there's needs, and I'm just giving you my own experience, my own testimony, my own weaknesses in this area, it's, okay, shh, quiet, don't say anything, don't do anything, don't make a noise, be seen, not heard was the idea, so that we can at least look on the outside like the perfect missionary to support so we can get out of here and move to the next one. But because of the constant time that you're with your family, it can also be a constant temptation to take for granted the time that you do have. Because when you are running through this process and you don't take time to bring the family with you through the entire process, you get to the mission field and things only speed up. They only become more complicated. That's why deputation is this training ground for all of these new cultures, all of these new nuances that have to be, you know, the learning curves that have to take place. Because once you get there, now you're throwing language, you're throwing culture, you're throwing people that don't speak your language and all of their eyeballs that are looking at you constantly into the mix. And so these organizational skills, whether it's the travel, whether it's the study time, using the time that you have to connect with mates and children as you are, you know, around these meals, because then there's all of these times where you're invited into homes, into restaurants to eat and to visit, whether it be at the church for, you know, fellowships or conferences or whatever it is. And it's not only you as a missionary that is going to be on the insecure or on the nervous side of this. We witnessed down in Mississippi, we were at a missions conference, and the pastor, I think to one extent, was worried about what all the other missionaries thought. Because there were children in the auditorium playing with nursery toys, cars. They were running the cars on the table up in front and down the top, you know, all that kids would do over the pews and so forth. And this is a long time ago. But he kind of lost his self-control. Not kind of. He plain out did lose his self-control and caused quite a scene for everyone that was able to see the auditorium or was in the auditorium. And I was in the auditorium. This needs to be a spiritual process, even though, I communicated before, there are some things that are backwards, but it's due now because of the countries involved and the need to unequivocally prove that we have the financial support, or they're not going to let us in for more than a 30 or 90 day visa. And I realize there are some countries that are only going to give you that regardless, but we're talking long term. So this training ground, it's dealing with people of another culture, it's the organizational skills that we need to develop. Hopefully we've already developed them. And then the communication, which I've already alluded to, but in Proverbs 18:24, and I know that we have memorized this verse through the course of our lives, but in Proverbs 18:24, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." It's really hard to be friendly to someone that you really don't know if you're not even really being friendly with your family. And we're talking about relationships still, But as, well, let me give you another illustration. So we were at another church in Oklahoma, and the pastor told all of us, there was a huge group of missionaries there. And he just basically was saying, missionaries, if your relationship isn't right, and not that we're perfect, and we all have days where we're tired or distracted, and I'm not giving excuse, and he wasn't giving excuses, but he was just making the point that when the relationships aren't right, we actually shoot ourselves in the foot. And so the years previous, they had another missionary conference, and a missionary husband and wife were out in the foyer during the preaching time. And if my memory serves me right, it was because of a nursery situation, a children's, maybe it was a Sunday school, I can't remember right this second those exact details, but they started having a disagreement and they forgot where they were, literally. And they started basically yelling at each other in the foyer, so loud that the people in the auditorium could hear the commotion. Well, there was a breakdown of communication before that day. And that was just a massive manifestation of it. And we don't want to allow ourselves to get to that point, because we truly are trying to establish friendships, because we need true friends in regards to missions, because we need those friends to pray for us. And there's a host of stories that we could share. Some you know, many I know, that missionaries were in very difficult moments in their ministry, and God protected them, or God opened doors, or God blessed them in miraculous ways. And later on we find out that, well, there was people praying at that very hour. And so we do want to establish these friendships so that we have this partnership of prayer going forward. But we need to make sure that we're spending the sufficient time with our family. When we learn then to bond with our own family, and I'm just giving my own testimony, as I've already said, this is a process I'm still learning. Because not only do I have my personality to deal with and my weaknesses, but also every other personality and the weaknesses within my family. And the larger the family, the more of that there is. And you guys all understand that. But making sure that we're spending that sufficient time with them and bonding with them, because then that helps you, it catapults you into that culture to understand how to be able to be friendly and how to bond with those people. So we were in Aguascalientes, and we were invited over to men's prayer meeting. I'm not sure if I already told you this story or not, but Brother Alba was one of those men who loved everything. Well, they had salsa, you know, that would say hot. And then they had salsa bottles that had three X's on them. Like, that was past extremely hot. But that was the salsa that Brother Alba liked. And when his wife cooked, that's the salsa that she cooked with. And, you know, there's varying levels of chilies. And, you know, jalapenos might just put somebody else over the top. Well, what Brother Alba ate as a snack was chili de árbol. And it's a little tiny chili that is just so extremely hot that your lips want to melt. If you're not used to it, your eyes are going to water and burn to the point where it may very well look like you're crying. Your nose is going to start sweating, and you're going to need a napkin. That was the kind of food that Brother Alba liked. And so, you know, we hadn't been there an awfully long time and still trying to get accustomed to some things. And there's a men's prayer meeting. And men's prayer meeting happened on Tuesday night, and it rotated in the houses of the men. Well, each of those times, the customary thing was that the wife would prepare a light or not so light meal for these men. And it started at 7, you know, and so there was this time of eating and praying that probably went from 7 to 9 every Tuesday or every other Tuesday night. Well, anyways, they were all looking at me to see if I was going to eat that chili that was on the plate. Everybody was served. It wasn't that you went through the line and put what you wanted. Everyone was served the food. Not only was the food very spicy, but everybody had 2 to 3 of these chilies on their plate. And Brother Alba, he don't know me very well at all. And he's just kind of watching to see what I'm going to do with that chili. You know what? When I took a bite of that chili, although I felt like I was going through the beginning stages of hell in a literal sense in my mouth, that allowed me to establish a friendship with that man. He was a big man, and he was a taxi driver, and he drove like a maniac. But you know what? God gave us a unique friendship. And when we went back there, just, you know, like a year and whatever ago, year and a half ago, that friendship was still there. And he wanted just to share the different things that was going on with his family and what he was doing and so forth, because there was a connection made. There was communication. There was acceptance. I learned at that meeting that what gives you the ability to speak Spanish well is your ability to eat chilies well. I mean, that's what they told me. Well, that just, that united all of their hearts with me, that I was willing to suffer with them and this food. But it was an amazing time, even though it was a painful time. And that's what you're going to see in all kinds of areas. It may be painful, but it will be very rewarding. So communication, patience. Let's jump to James chapter 1. Giving a lot of stories this morning. James chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, we're back on deputation. We're making these calls. We're making communication, emails, texts, so forth, trying to connect, trying to get past the different barriers that are put in place so that the pastor isn't bombarded with all of this communication. But it does make it difficult for the missionary and requires a lot of patience. And it's putting your energy, listen to this, please, you have to put real energy into the message that God would have you to present to them. It cannot be a message that you speak at every single church. Because for one, your kids, if you have kids at the point, are going to be extremely bored and distracted. And when missionary children are bored, they don't sit very well because they're sitting all the time. They're sitting in every church service. They're sitting in every missions conference. They're sitting in the vehicle for the hours it takes to get to that place. And many times we arrived at houses that they didn't necessarily have children because the people with children, with families, didn't always have extra room to house people. So you're being placed in houses where there isn't very many toys or puzzles, or and there's an insecurity there of as to where they can be and what they can touch. And so there's a lot of sitting that goes on even in the time frame that they would normally be playing. And so when you're not reaching your own family in these messages, there will be extra challenges involved. Now, I'm not saying that you can't preach a message again, because there are just plain times when God puts it on your heart that that's what that place needs. When you're visiting 150 to 300 churches, there's the needs are distinct, but sometimes they're the same. And so, but put energy into that, the energy that's required to honor God and to challenge your family as well as the people that are listening. But it requires patience. It does require patience, because there's going to seem like weeks when you just don't have the extra time because of all of the extra time fixing a vehicle or driving someplace or meeting the needs of that church when they ask you to participate in all kinds of things. And that's another area that you will have to consider as we talk about culture, that some pastors are going to want you to be there Saturday morning to go out soul winning. There's going to be some pastors that are during a missions conference setting that are going to want you to teach chapel in their Christian school once or twice or three times during the week. There's going to be some pastors that have their missions conference around their vacation Bible school. And he already is going to plug every single missionary into a classroom to be able to teach these little kids and to organize little games or songs with these kids and just to have that flexibility, which is going to require patience, that God teaches you and gives you what you need to be the blessing that he desires you to be to that church. You're going to need patience, because if you have a vehicle, there sooner or later you're going to break down in Timbuktu, where there isn't anyone around, it seems, to be able to reach out to or call. So I bought that Dodge black truck several years ago, and on the way back, it basically broke down. And I was in the middle of no place. I was at a place where Uber would not come, with tow trucks that would not come, because I was on the turnpike. I called my insurance company, and they had no way to help me get the truck anywhere because of where I was. I was at one of those oases on the turnpike. And there's just moments when it's going to seem impossible to get past that moment. One, I was telling the kids earlier, we were on our way somewhere in Ohio, Pennsylvania. I think we were in Ohio, maybe. And I stopped at the gas station to fill up the gas tank. And when I did that, I emptied the trashes in the van and in the travel trailer. We had this 20-foot travel trailer, which is 17 feet of livable space plus a 3-foot tank. So that's why they call it 20. It's kind of deceitful, but nonetheless, it is what it is. And I jumped in the travel trailer to grab the trash can to dump it. And when I went to go back in, I realized we didn't even have a tire or brakes or anything on the back axle. There was nothing. The spindle that comes out, that's supposed to be round, was shaped like a D because it had been bouncing, rubbing, and scraped that thing down to the shape of a D. Well, now what are we going to do? Thankfully, it wasn't Saturday. But because Proverbs 18:24 came into play, a church that had already been supporting us in Poland, Ohio, which was interesting. That pastor was at the meeting this week, so that was kind of fun to be able to reconnect. But that church had already supported us. We had already been put up in a family's home that just lived just across the border of Pennsylvania, Ohio. They lived in Pennsylvania. And he was a professional welder. And he just did all kinds of projects. And I was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We drove the vehicle to a car lot and asked them if they had any possibility of being able to fix this. And they said, it would take us a week to get the parts. Well, you already have your schedule of churches where you got to be on Sunday, maybe two on Sunday and one on Wednesday or something like that. And I was like, what am I going to do, God? And then it probably was Julia says, well, why not call so-and-so? And of course, me and my pride, I was like, no, I don't want to bother them. They're like 45 minutes or an hour away. But we were that close to them. And it was to the point where I had no other options. What does James say? Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So I called brother so-and-so. And he's like, I'll be right there, brother. And he brought his father that had even that much more experience with dealing with these things. And when he came, he had a series of chains that he used, and he created a counterbalance so that the back axle would no longer rub on the pavement, which was just, that was amazing to me. But he had the experience. He not only had the experience to figure out how to get the vehicle properly, safely to the place without using a trailer, something to put it on, but then he also had the wherewithal to say, well, there's a place right down the road that sells travel trailer parts. From tires and rims all the way up through to the axle stuff and beyond. And he said, go there. It's a wholesaler. It'll be less expensive. And they'll have it right there. You won't have to order anything. And he said, I'll have my own guys cut that thing off, weld it back on, put it together. And he got it mostly back together and realized that he had welded the new spindle on a little crooked. He's like, no worries. I'm going to cut this. I'm going to straighten it out, like a front-end alignment kind of deal. And welded it back together, and we were good to go within 24 hours. Trying of your faith worketh patience, and you get to see God work in amazing ways while on deputation. Because you're going to need those experiences of God moving for you so that when you get to the field, you don't feel overwhelmed, because you already have a God that's shown himself true to you and powerful to you. And he's many times is going to use those friends, those prayer warriors, to come through for you. So even encountering trouble, it's trusting God to trust people and to accept a blessing. It's trusting God to trust people to accept a blessing. We are almost out of time here. I'm just going to go through these points quickly so that next week we hit to a new topic. But the importance of sacrifice. You're going to have to learn the importance of holding your tongue, but we're going to get past that. Read the book of Proverbs. You get the whole idea of holding our tongues at times. Just a quick example on that. Yesterday, we had seen the gentleman the whole week, but yesterday we actually made physical connection with Pastor Carlos, who's out in Rhode Island. Funny story, though, is he's from California. And I said, you know, he's Hispanic, bilingual, completely bilingual. He would be an amazing man to use for translating. But he's from California. And I said, I'm sure you know people that I know. And he's like, probably. Within 2 minutes, the man that's pastoring the church where he was at or participating in the ministry that he was participating at is Jerry Collins. Jerry Collins is the missionary we went to see in 95 where God called us to be missionaries. So another 2 minutes go by, and he goes, well, I know the family in Villarreal. I'm like, you're kidding me. The Villarreals were a blessing to our family while we were in Aguascalientes. We ate meals usually once a month together with that family. We have a CD of the music that they recorded of their family singing in our house, which we have listened to in the last, I don't know, couple, 3 months. He's like, really? And as we went on, we realized at one point in his ministry, he taught high schoolers at Lancaster, where Dr. Paul Chappell is. Well, it just so comes to be that he taught one of the classes that my brother-in-law, Josh Tanner, was in. And he said, you're Anna's sister? And the connections and the Calmettas that he knew. I said, I told you. Within 15 minutes, we knew four families that he knew. And that's what God's going to do as we establish these friends. He's going to make such an amazing connection that when you have a prayer request and you hit one of those points, those dots, it literally can go around the world. And that will be such a blessing. There does come a sacrifice there, the importance of sacrificing. You have to sacrifice so many different things. It could be when you sleep. It could be when you eat. It could be the time frame of serving. Some people love fellowship, but if you're exhausted, it's going to be a sacrifice to make yourself. You literally are going to have to make yourself stay awake to be the blessing that God wants you to be to some of these people. I'm going to just read a verse here in Ephesians 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 7, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. And we realize that that is a work situation, but understanding deputation is work. It actually is. When you're sitting in people's homes and you're fellowshipping and you're talking with them, that's part of the ministry. And even when you're exhausted, it's going to be a time of serving and of sacrifice. You're traveling morning, noon, and night to get places. There were times where we traveled through the night. We had some medical situations where we just had to make the call. We got to stop what we're doing, and we have to deal with the situation, and it required more sacrifice, whether it was by plane, by car, whatever it was. We have to be willing to sacrifice in the traveling. And then there's the responsibility. The responsibility, I kind of already alluded to this, but the responsibility to know God. It's spending the adequate time with Him. It's understanding the steps that He would have you take. Let's jump to Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. It's 37. Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. It's really easy to be in ministry, but not be in tune with God. So we need to make sure that we're taking the steps that He delights in, that He desires for us to have. And I'm going to just read in closing Proverbs 22:5. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And so there are definitely some boundaries that need to be set up within your own heart, within your family, within the ministry, so that you're keeping your soul, so that you're not allowing thorns and snares to be stumbling blocks. Because remember, last week we talked about some missionaries, 43, I think it was 43 or 42%, never even get to the mission field. Why? Because stumbling blocks came in. Some are man-made, but some are spiritual. The enemy doesn't want people to reach certain fields, or really any field. He doesn't really want us to be here this morning studying the Word of God. And so it's keeping our soul in tune with the Holy Spirit, with Christ our Savior, with God our Father, so that that soul is kept, prepared, blessed, protected for the field where He would have us to reach. And so just a few thoughts to consider as we go on deputation. It can be a very exciting time, a very learning, an enjoyable learning time. But we can trade the enjoying part for pure frustration and discouragement, distress. Some people even get depressed on deputation because of the constant no. We have to trust the one who is leading you. And He says, choose joy. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. And that's what we have the opportunity to do. Even when we're tired, we can serve the Lord with gladness. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank You once again for the opportunity. Lord, just a lot of illustrations and stories this morning, but I thank You for the Word that we can go to and glean from and be encouraged by. And Lord, that gives us the confidence to give our testimony to others because You worked in our hearts and our weaknesses. And Lord, You're giving us the opportunity to encourage others so that, Lord willing, they'll be able to just jump right over that hurdle and be able to go even farther for You. And Lord, we just thank You for Your love and once again Your patience and mercy and Your long-suffering with us, just allowing us to continually learn, giving us the opportunity to choose to draw nigh to You, and just the opportunity to see Your hand at work. Lord, just thank You for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.